This call is being recorded by the meeting organizer. By staying on the call, you are giving your consent to being recorded.
You are giving your consent to being recorded.
That's mine. You are
giving your consent to being recorded.
Okay, if any of you can put your phones on mute, please put your phones on mute to cut down on any of the feedback that we're having. This is our first.
Put your phones on mute to cut down on any of the feedback that we're having. This is our first.
Can you hit the silence button to see if she'll help you? Okay. Besides Holly, who else do I have on the call?
This is Kim Mills.
Okay. Yvette, if you'll go ahead and introduce or go around the room there.
Actually, Ms. Miguel, they're seated at the dais, so I'll let them introduce themselves.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Vernita Nelson with the City of Miami Gardens.
Hey, Vernita.
Ms. Miguel, were you able to hear Chief Patterson?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, hold on a moment. Let us adjust his mic.
Okay. I still can't hear anything, so. Hello?
Good morning. It's Jayden Patterson from the Police Department, Mr. Miguel.
Good morning, Chief. Thank you so much. I can hear you now.
Thank you.
This is Jacqueline Williams calling on behalf of Kathy Jackson. She'll be here shortly.
Good morning. Thank
Good
you
morning.
For being here. Okay, who else do I have?
We have Ed Marquez on.
Hey, Ed. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Okay, anybody else?
I just want to say hello again. Audio.
Who is that?
J.D. Patterson just saying, checking the audio on the mic.
Gotcha,
Ms.
perfect.
Miguel.
Thank you. Okay, is that everybody in the room event down there?
Yes, ma'am, that's it.
Okay.
Well,
are there
actually,
any?
We have one of our commissioners here as well, Commissioner Riley. He's sitting in as well. And then, of course, we have the public and some other members of the staff.
Wonderful. Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Commissioner. All right, we're going to go around
good morning.
The room here. We're going to go around the room here and introduce who's on the call on this side.
Hi, I'm Angela Connect with DEP.
Hi, I'm Frances Coyle. I'm with the Governor's Office of Policy and Budget.
Andrew Collins.
Marie Walker, Department of Revenue.
Kristen White, Governor's Office.
Melinda Miguel, Governor's Office.
Heather Stearns, Governor's Office.
And Jack Heekin, Governor's Office.
All right, I think we've got introductions. Holly, did you get a list of everyone?
Yep, I got everything, Melinda.
Okay, great. All right. So, some great news today. We've got with us Frances Coyle. Frances Coyle has volunteered to assist the City of Opa-locka with some budgeting expertise, and so I would like to introduce Frances for a couple of remarks. Frances, if you would just give us your background in a few seconds, and we appreciate you joining the team.
And I'm looking forward to working with everybody. I've been doing budgets for over 30 years now. Started off my stint in the governor's office for about 8 years and then went to an agency for about 20. Now I'm back as the chief analyst. My main responsibility is overseeing several agencies, doing their budget, providing a recommendation to the governor and House and legislature, and kind of just going through the whole process of what their needs are, the availability of their budget, how much funds are available, and just kind of focusing on what their, like I said, their highest needs are and moving forward. We look at documents like their trust fund information, how much revenue they have available, We look to see how much budget we have available, try to make sure everything's balanced. And it's a long process. It's very interesting. I'm looking forward to working with the city. I've never done that before. My only experience is with the state. So I'm hoping to be able to be beneficial in some way in that area. And, you know, I'm going to be learning as I go along the way, but I'm going to be relying on other people here. Kristen, who's working on the finance area. So and just going to give all I can and provide as much information and work as hard as I can to make sure you know, we can get everything done we need to do.
Awesome. Well, we're so excited to have you. Today is a special meeting that was noticed, and we have a couple of topics to cover. One of the reasons for the emergency meeting had to do with the request that we received at the last meeting of our first meeting of the Financial Emergency Board for the City of Opa-locka, and the request made by a commissioner as well as the city manager when they expressed concerns about the validity of the May budget document and expressed concerns about their ability to provide and comply with the interlocal government agreement by being able to provide a budget and a financial recovery plan by the August 1st deadline. So in order to address their expressed concerns at our last meeting, we scrambled to do an emergency meeting to find the financial expertise that we could provide to the city. And so we welcome Frances Coyle to the team. She will be reporting to Christian Wise for the committee, and will be working very closely with the board as well as with the City of Opa-locka to validate the numbers, to work up a budget, to work with you, Yvette, and your staff, Charmaine Parchment, to come up with a validated budget for submission to this board by the deadline, as well as a financial recovery plan. She'll be helping to validate the numbers put forth to this body. So that's pretty much the primary purpose of today's meeting, was to do a rapid response to your request down at the city, Ms. Harrell. So based upon that discussion relative to budgeting expertise, since we were together, wanted to cover a couple of topics while we had the chance early in the process, and that was to address a question that came up last week also between Councilor Vincent Brown and Councilor Jack Heekin, relative to the interlocal government agreement, and this also is based upon a conversation that I had with Yvette Harrell relative to that interlocal government agreement. How are we going to be able to move forward on approving expertise, or excuse me, expenses for the city? So we need to today discuss a mechanism for routing contracts, expenditures, and other forms of indebtedness through the board for approval. And based upon interpretation of the legal counsels on both teams, we've determined that the interlocal government agreement is written sufficiently broad so that we have the ability to approve and authorize all expenditures and other forms of indebtedness before payment. So we need to talk about exactly what does that process entail. How are we going to accomplish, you know, routing invoices through for payment. So I'd like to call on the chair of Chief Patterson, if you might could reflect on this particular topic particularly, because I think that we could use your contract review committee as the point of contact for Ms. Harrell, use your expertise on review of expenditures to help us with routing things through so that there aren't any delays or unnecessary delays to pay certain vendors. So, Mr. Patterson, can I just get your initial thoughts on what that might look like? I'd like to also ask Yvette Harrell to chime in, too, with regard to current process.
My thoughts on what that will look like, Chair Miguel, is that, you know, since I'm here, And I basically can look at any expenditures that are required and to process them and have a dialogue with the committee regarding the appropriateness of them. So I don't have a problem with, you know, being a conduit for getting that information channeled to the right place. And if we need to, as a committee, meet to approve it, then we'll do that as well. Because, you know, it's important that the city continues to function in a way that doesn't adversely affect its efficiency. So the committee can definitely meet to review any documents that's submitted for payment.
Okay. I think that sounds really like a sound approach. Ms. Harrell, do you have any comments?
Yes, Ms. McGill. I was just discussing with my IT department, and I think you and I spoke about it before. We have a software that we could actually give, I guess at this point, Mr. Patterson access to, or perhaps whatever committee members we need to. We can give them access to the software that they can review the necessary expenditures and then advise whether or not they're approved or if they have additional questions. That way it might streamline the process of actually having the documents emailed or delivered.
Okay. I think that sounds good. I know we talked also about the possibility of submitting a spreadsheet to the entire board. That way the entire board has certain transparency about those expenditures, and we consider the spreadsheet to have certain things like the date of the invoice, the vendor description, the vendor name, the description of what's being paid, the account it's being paid from, the amount, for complete transparency. We also talked about initially the idea of a threshold, but it seems that, you know, given the way that the interlocal government agreement is established, we might as well just start with all expenditures rather than consider a threshold. That said, we can always address that down the road if it ends up being too onerous. But based upon feedback from the city manager, it appears that all expenditures are probably 95% of the invoices received are probably greater than 300 anyway. So the idea of a threshold, while it sounds onerous, initially, you know, we'll see what that workload is, and certainly makes sense for us to get a feel for the expenditures of the city moving forward. So, Ms. Harrell and Mr. Patterson, if y'all will talk about particulars, and then we can talk again if we can at our next meeting about any details, and then if we can begin that submission of the spreadsheet in whatever fashion that you need to try to get that distributed to all of the board members once it's ready to go, then we'd like to begin that. Going back to June 1st, and then there's probably the question of what might exist prior to June 1st. Ms. Harrell indicates that there's a past practice that she has corrected relative to printing checks and then kind of prioritizing those. So if Mr. Patterson and Ms. Harrell could work together on any of the checks that are already printed and provide us a status report on those. And Ms. Harrell, you also mentioned that there might be a need to rush certain expenditures for critical items of need within a separate process that would be an expedited process. So we need to maybe have you and Mr. Patterson collaborate on what that would look like and provide an update for us at our next meeting on 6th of July. And obviously Christian is here and will be hosting his meeting. So it may play into his meeting on the 5th, which is at 3:00 also there at Shrubundi Village. So we'll work on the SunGuard access and really appreciate your input to get this started. You know, the discussion of expenses really leads me to a lot of questions and a lot of moving parts relative to city operations. And
may I ask a question?
Yeah, please.
this is Christian. I'm not 100% sure about the process that so the city gives an invoice to Mr. Patterson, who then presents it to the board. Is that the idea, or how is it exactly going to function?
Mr. Patterson, you're recognized.
It'll be a review process by myself and the other committee members, the subcommittee members, to look at the request and look at the budgets. When I say the budgets, the cash that might be available. And if there is no cash available, then we'll deal with that as well. So after a preliminary review by the committee, it'll go to you all, go to the entire board.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay. Some of the next things, and let me know, Ed, if Kathy Jackson has made it on the call yet, or Kathy, if you're on the call.
Yes,
please.
I'm here.
Wonderful. All right, well, we're going to call on you here in just a minute, and we appreciate you, both Ed Marquez and Kathy Jackson from Miami-Dade County, participating in today's call. Really appreciate you being on the call and giving us some context. But as soon as we get off of this topic, I'll go back to that presentation by Ms. Jackson and allow her to introduce herself. And the, is it Vice Mayor or Deputy Mayor, Ed, that your is your title?
It's Deputy Mayor.
Deputy Mayor, thank you. Okay. In this further discussion of the expenditures and contracts and things like that relative to the city, there were some questions that I had last night when I was talking with City Manager Farrell, and I was inquiring as to whether or not we could designate someone such as Mr. Patterson to receive or others, and I want to put this out for consideration by the board. Bank statements, all relevant bank statements, all bank statements coming to the city. If there's a way to also put the members of this board into a notification to the banks to provide us with the bank statements as well, just as they would be going to the city simultaneously, and whether that's electronic fashion or in mail, I think that we would like to receive any and all bank statements by the city. We'd also like to receive any and all credit card statements. My understanding, there's no P card statements, but there are gas card statements. And so to also receive any gas card statements for transparency purposes to each of the members of the board, and then we'll figure out whether or not that needs to go through Mr. Patterson. Exactly, I want to get your feedback on who should be the recipient of these. Notably, there are some rented vehicles as well as some leased vehicles there in the city, and I want to put out for consideration as to whether or not Ms. Harrell can begin doing some research for us on the termination of certain leased vehicles specific to the commissioners, maybe and or others, and or rented vehicles that might need to be revisited in terms of expenditures to determine the necessity for each of the rented vehicles and determine whether or not those costs are appropriate. I also want to put out for the board's consideration a hiring freeze effective immediately for further evaluation by at a minimum, routing through Mr. Patterson's committee and then to the full board. I know that there are some staff probably leaving or separating, retiring, moving to other jobs, and there might be an opportunity for us to address staffing ratios and determine the need for those staff, whether or not for instance, the police department or the parks and rec or water and sewer are properly staffed with the right numbers, given the infrastructure and the size of the city, and some sort of millage equivalency calculation might be conducted. I want to call on Chief Patterson to really look at specifically the police department to determine whether or not the 54 FTE of the sworn law enforcement officers for the city is the proper number for a police department of that size, and give us the chance to evaluate that police department from your perspective, Chief, and all of your background and expertise is going to be really valuable and helpful to the committee. There's also certain projects and grants that I think that we have the opportunity to review, for instance, the restoration of City Hall. I'm in the process of working with the department, some of the state agencies to ascertain all of the state grants that might be flowing to the city. And I think that there might be an opportunity for us to prioritize certain projects with our priorities of the board to ensure that services to the citizens of Opa-locka continue to flow properly and with a focus on employees, whether they need to maintain their jobs so that those services can be delivered on a timely basis. So there's many things that we've got to do and many things that we've got to consider, and I'm sure that all of those answers are not going to happen on today's call. But I think that these are all on the table for us to consider and all on the table for us to evaluate in greater detail. And Mr. Wise and Mr. Patterson, you guys both have a heavy lift on the revenue and expenditure side. While I've looked at the budgets, whether they're valid or not, looked at some of the numbers that have been provided, I don't believe we have a revenue problem. I believe we have an expenditure problem as it relates to the city's financial well-being. So those are some of my initial thoughts. And I'd like to call on you, Mr. Patterson, first to maybe offer some reflection and comments about these areas where we need to focus and any other areas that you think might need to be included in our list.
I believe you gave a really, really extensive list of things we need to look at, and it's a good starting point. I really don't have many other ideas right now about the places to look initially other than just to review the reports and things of that nature that have already been sort of like submitted or at least made available. We have to continue to look at those, and actually there are a few things that grabbed my attention as well, including the police department, like you said. So I think the whole idea of statements and records is a very good place to start, because if we have too many different things we're looking at initially, we may not even get a real good sense of where we're going to start from. So I think having a sense of what the revenue is and what the expenses are in a process is very important. And I like the idea of the hiring freeze and as well as looking at the staffing ratios and things of that nature. Because all of these do have costs associated with them. And as managers and as a board, we need to look at everything that's going to incur some sort of cost and decide which things can be stopped and which things need to proceed. So I think establishing priorities about purchasing and expenses and personnel and things of that nature is very important. I even like the idea of the millage review you talked about as well, the millage equivalency calculation. I think that's important too. So I'm not sure. I don't think it's a revenue problem either. I do think it is an expenditure problem from what I can say. And we need to work on bringing them in line with what's reasonable.
Okay. Any other comments from the group? Okay. I think based upon – I'm sorry, hello? Okay. I think for our next step for consideration, I have a question for Juanita Nelson and for Mr. Patterson again, and I'm curious about two things from your perspective. One, is there any expertise that you have on your staff? And Mr. Rollison, I didn't hear call in, and if I missed him, okay. I'd like to pose this question of him at the next meeting, but is there any expertise at the local level from the local governments that are nearby that could also augment the work of Francis Coyle and Charmaine Parchment and Yvette Harrell on validating the budget that might be current existing volunteers or city staff that might be in a local proximity?
This is Bernita Nelson. After looking at the agenda that was sent out on yesterday or the day before yesterday, I did speak with city manager. As you know, we, the City of Miami Gardens, have gone through our budget process for fiscal year 2017. And as you may not know, the city of Miami Gardens is a lean, mean machine. So we only have about two people that are leading that effort, working with our respective departments. But with that being said, after talking with Ms. Harrell and Mr. Patterson, we will be able to bring some expertise to bear depending on what that scale is. If it's a cursory review or just some initial meetings or meetings thereafter, we will be willing to do that after considering what the capacity of the workload is needed.
Okay. Mr. Collins has a remark. Thank you very much. And please extend my thanks to the mayor as well and the city manager.
Ms. Nelson, I was curious just about the sort of the timeline in August. Has the city of Miami Gardens already scheduled their budget hearings? I know this calendar closes in really quickly after tax rolls are certified, TRIM rates are there, so the millage rates get voted heard at the local level for comment. Have you guys already scheduled that, and is this something we need to assist Opa-locka with, the actual hearing?
If you ask me if the city of Miami Gardens has scheduled their first meeting, we have.
Yeah. Has the city of Opa-locka has the city of Opa-locka already scheduled these meetings?
No, sir, we have not.
It's my understanding that we may be pretty far behind in our financial reporting. I don't know to what extent that we are behind, but we're potentially very behind in the budget process if the May budget that was voted on is being considered invalid or flawed in some way. So we're going to have to establish a timeline. Yvette, if there's a way that you can establish for us a timeline of key benchmark dates and submit those to the board so that we know exactly what has to happen and by what time. And we've got ideal and then we've got drop dead dates, so to speak. So if you're able to give us some parameters under which the deadlines must operate in order to be properly presented for public hearing and considering the 35-day requirement for the TRIM and, you know, some of those legal benchmarks, that would be most helpful. And if you could submit those as soon as possible so that we can establish some key action items in Christian's meeting next week. And Christian, you may already have some ideas of where some of those key deadlines are, but obviously if Yvette, you could send those to us, that would be very, very helpful. I don't know if it's doable, but certainly failure doesn't seem to be an option. So, Kim Mills, I have a question for you. I'd like you, Kim, to reach out to Ms. Harrell and work with Ms. Harrell directly and provide us a report with Ms. Harrell's support or detail. But, Kim, if you could determine and ascertain the status of the CAFR, the audit, and whether or not there's any concerns with the auditing firm that's been hired by the city as inferred to by Commissioner Riley. I think Commissioner Riley and others were intimating to some issues relative to the audit, and I know the Vice Mayor was supportive of the firm. I don't mean to suggest that there's anything untoward, but I would definitely like to get a board member of our Financial Emergency Board to validate exactly where we are, reach out to the firm, get some independent verification as to where the audit, the CAFR is, and where does it stand, and where are they relative to the closure of books and records for this fiscal year, and whether or not bank reconciliations are in fact being conducted in a timely manner, and just give us a report out on the status of the CAFR, the audit, hopefully at Wednesday's meeting there at Shrubundi Village.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. At the advice of council, I would like to get a motion, potentially there a second, and a vote on having a hiring freeze take place effective immediately.
I make that motion.
A motion by Mr. Wise.
I second that motion.
Second by Mr. Collins. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion carries. I would like to also get a motion and hopefully a second on the review of bank statements, credit card statements, review of leases of vehicles, the police department review, and the state grant assessment. Do I have a motion?
I move.
Moved by Mr. Wise. Second?
Second.
Second by Angela Connect. Any discussion? Call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right, third item, vote on an expenditure review process detailed by Mr. Chief Patterson. Do I have a motion for him to move forward with that expenditure review process?
I so move.
Moved by Mr. Wise. Second? Second by Ms. Walker. Okay. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Okay. Last for the moment. Status of the CAFR and audit by Kim Mills. Do I have a motion for her to proceed?
I so move.
Moved by Mr. Wise. Second?
Second.
You can't vote. Sorry. Who was the second?
Patterson.
Second. Thank you. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Kim, for the record, you voted aye.
Yes. So,
just kidding. Okay. Any opposed? All right. Hearing none, motion carries. All right. Next order of business. Thank you. I would like to acknowledge and recognize our colleagues from the Miami-Dade County, and I specifically would like to call on Deputy Mayor Ed Marquez to introduce our next presenter, Kathy Jackson. Mr. Marquez, any comments?
Well, Kathy Jackson is one of the premier internal auditors I've ever come across. She has the rare ability, well, she's a CPA, originally was working for one of our audit firms many years ago and came on over to our great benefit. She's one of these individuals that has always maintained a very high degree of expectations from auditees. She doesn't pull any punches, but at the same time, she's always working towards a solution. She's not a gotcha type person. So with that in mind, Kathy has spent a fair amount of time over doing an audit on our People's Transportation Trust monies for the traffic for our transit system that was given to Opa-locka. That's that audit, as well as reviewing a whole bunch of other facets of their operations, and her report, you know, it was her report that was getting our management aware of the fact that Opa-locka was having some major financial issues, and that's why we asked the state to come and join in on the fun, if you would. So be that as say, that's Kathy, and Kathy, we're going to take over.
Thank you very much, Eric, for those very kind remarks. Good morning to each of you. Melinda, I'm not sure how much you want to share. I know you gave me 10 minutes, and I will keep it brief. As Ed indicated, our Audit and Management Services Department has been active at the City of Opa-locka through our compliance audits we were doing for our surtax fund. We were currently in there trying to do an audit through fiscal year 15. We stopped at 14, obviously, because the financial records were not complete and available. We had some concerns because we became aware of the fact that our PTP monies were actually being used for general operational purposes as opposed to the programs that they were intended to serve. And as a result of that, we expanded the scope of our review. About the same time, our mayor advised the Board of County Commissioners with regard to the extent of delinquent obligations that was owed by the city to Miami-Dade County, which currently is hovering over a little bit around $4 million right now. Primarily, the majority of that is owed to our water and sewer department. But what I'd like to focus on today is that we did issue a report. That report we can make available. I know Melinda has a copy of it. If any of the members would like a copy, they can send me an email and we'll be happy to furnish them a copy. I think that many of the things that you've already discussed, I was going to cover, but I do want to emphasize, and if you want me to talk about some of the findings that we had in the report, Melinda, I'll do that. I don't know how much time you guys have, but what I was going to focus more so on in terms of some of those things I thought you guys may want to prioritize. And many of the items that I had jotted down, you all have pretty much, for the most part, covered them. But I just wanted to add just a couple of other things to emphasize that it's extremely important, and I haven't discussed anything probably in about 21 days or so with the City of Opa-locka financial personnel, but we do need to get the books and records closed for FY 2015 as well as brought current year-to-date for FY 2016. It's very difficult for an audit to commence or for you guys to get an accurate picture of the city's fiscal condition without this information, and that certainly needs to be a priority. I also, too, underscore the city's concern that certainly their financial staff resources is severely understaffed, and it's very difficult for them to do that, you know, alone, given their current situation. Also, too, I think it's critical, something that we've been trying to get for, I think, since February, is just a good cash flow projection in terms of what they expect their cash flow needs are going to be, you know, at least certainly at the beginning with the first 90 days, as well as, you know, extend it so that you guys can plan more strategically in terms of helping the city to assess what their true needs are and so that they can be able to meet some of their obligations. They do have, at the time I was there, a significant amount of obligations that were delinquent. We had concerns about checks that were being held. But we never could get a complete listing, I felt, of everything that was outstanding. Also, too, I saw varying drafts of cash flow projections, but as I explained to them, I did not feel that they were complete, and it was very difficult, again, to get a handle, because if you don't have an idea in terms of the status of the financial information year-to-date, budgeted to actual information, it's very difficult for someone coming in to make sure that everything that should be anticipated is there. I think also, too, we know that the city, basically because of some of their cash shortages, had been tapping into water and sewer reserves as well as, you know, other types of reserves that were restricted. I think one of the concerns we most was very concerned about is that when we were doing our audit, for the financial statements for 2014, we had determined that our funds should have had unspent a little over $700,000. The audited financial statements reflected that those funds were, in fact, on hand. As a result of our someone alerting us to certain things and our checking, those monies were not available. So I understand it was brought up. Yes, I did have a concern about audit quality in light of that. I made several attempts to discuss my concerns with the auditor. Those things never materialized. So, you know, we had concerns about the accuracy of the FY 2014 statements. And like I said, it could have been innocent mistakes. I don't know. The only thing I know is we tried on several occasions to try to understand what could have precipitated some of those errors and the impact. But we were never able to get that understanding. I heard you guys say about the personnel resources that you're going to do an assessment, and I think that's extremely important. I do think that it's important that, you know, You meet with department heads, get an understanding of, you know, where they are, what their concerns are. In terms of staffing, like I said, we saw some understaffing in the finance department, but I felt in some of the other departments that the staffing sometimes was overstaffed. So certainly you do need to get an assessment in terms of what they currently have, what they had last year, and what they feel that they need from their perspective, and then make an assessment that they feel that they need in other departments as well. As you know, Miami-Dade County has also issued, and this is from some of our other departments, you know, DERM, there was a building moratorium, so there are some regulatory issues, some concerns about the water and sewer infrastructure that also need to be a priority for the committee. And, you know, I respectfully ask that you guys, you know, take a look at that as well. The city has put together, as you know, a financial recovery plan, and I think they finally adopted one by their board in May. You know, we've looked at varying drafts of those recovery plans and why they have some good information. Some of the initiatives in terms of enhancing revenues, they seem to be overly optimistic. I was also concerned about some of the completeness of the representations of some of the other numbers as well. I think it's important, and I'm glad to see that you guys have established a procedures for the review of expenditures from a control standpoint, because I do think that's critical. I do think there's opportunities, as you've already acknowledged, to reduce costs, but I also think that there's opportunities to enhance revenues. The water and sewer function, in terms of the billing function and the collection function, that's something that's critical and needs to be reviewed. I think one of the concerns that we did have with regard to that, and we didn't get an opportunity to look in there as extensively as we would have liked to, but we had concerns about the delinquencies and feeling that there were some accounts they were concentrating on, but on some of the larger accounts, we were not as aggressive as we could be in terms of collection efforts. Also, too, I was concerned about the number of refunds. I mean, it just seemed to be excessive returns of customer deposits that just really seemed to be abnormal, but we never could get a straight answer with regard to that. So I can go on and on, but I think I'll pause now because I probably exceeded my 10 minutes. But what I want to say is that I am available to meet with, you know, Chief Patterson or anyone that's Kim dealing with the audit issues, just to give a little bit more of our perspective and give you, you know, our experience. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to entertain them at this time, or I can answer them at another time.
Thank you, Ms. Jackson. Any questions?
Chairman McGill. Yes. This is Andrew Collins. I did have actually one question on the audit firm. The external auditor, do we know how long they've had the same firm?
It's been a number of years, but I think Ms. Harrell or Ms. Parchment there is there, and they can answer that question much better than I can.
Okay. I apologize. I didn't hear the question.
How many years have you had the same external auditor?
I believe approximately 5 years.
This is Christian Weiss. Ms. Jackson, thank you for all these valuable thoughts that you presented to us. Would it be possible for you to send the aforementioned audit to Ms. Miguel or to Joanne, and then it can be forwarded to the rest of the committee? I think that would be helpful.
The audit that we did, yes. I mean, I think Ms. Miguel has it. Melinda, I'm not sure if you need me to send you another copy, but if so, we'll be glad to. That's not a problem at all.
For the purposes of you know, making it easy to obtain, if you don't mind sending it to me, then I can have
Joanne. Everyone.
That would be great.
We'll be glad to. We'll be glad to.
Thank you.
And maybe
Ms. Miguel.
This is Christian again. Is your contact information?
I will do that as well.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Patterson, was that you?
Yes, Mr. Riley would like to say something. The commissioner is sitting here.
Okay, Mr. Riley. Mr. Riley?
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
I am
so happy that you've discussed some things that are concerns me this morning. But in addition to that, as we look at personnel, I need for you to not just look at those available, but the quality and the competence of those personnel. I want to say with the dealing with the audit, I have looked at documents. According to the audit trail, revenue collected exceeds expenditures by $4,487,896. Doesn't make sense. In addition to that, the audit trail, there was a projected $53 million in revenue and $20 million in actual receipts. That is a huge difference. None of these things make sense. I look at if I'm on a football field and I see the goal line, I can't get to that goal unless I know where the scrimmage line is. And until we can't fix what we don't acknowledge. We need competent personnel. We need competent audit. And with respect to our water and sewer, the problem that we have there, we have, say for instance, the building has been occupied and we had one to be rehabbed. They was vacant for 4 months, but yet their usage was the same. Their billing was the same. We have customers in the region, there's a problem here. They get the same bill for the same amount every month. That doesn't happen. So there's a need to have the equipment. I have a problem also to address the water and sewer system itself, the water meters itself. All of these things need to be addressed and a part of the discussion so that we can move forward in a fruitful manner. I thank you, and I hope that the board would address those issues.
Thank you, Commissioner Riley. Any other comments? Ms. Nelson, I have a question for you. How do you run an accountability of the gas at the city pumps that people
if you wouldn't mind, Chair, Commissioner Santiago would like to make a comment before Ms. Nelson answers.
Okay. Commissioner Santiago.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I came a little late because I had to open my business early today, but I be listening to the comments that we do about the financial situation and all the numbers that they've been sending to Tallahassee before for the administration. First, I'd like to say that all the number that they send, that's the number that they're giving to us, and they're very confused numbers. I want to share with something with my colleague, Mr. Commissioner Riley, that is true. Is we have to find out what is the real situation here today for the finance. It's number that we be receiving all the time that is not the exact numbers. And I heard also about 5 years ago, and I believe this problem coming not from 5 years ago, it's coming from more back forward. 7 or 8 years ago. And when they added coming here the last time in 2014, I remember that he asking about the same amount of money that we are in the hole. And nobody know where where is the money go. And I give it an answer to him that we are standing here in this room, right here, okay, when we are spending for the general fund $5 million to build that building, when we have the money that they return the money to somewhere else. True, it have to come. About the financial situation that we have. And if it's somebody hiding something, we're going to find out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Santiago. Okay, so back to the question relative to gas access at city pumps. What kind of accountability program should we be able to
to verify exists in the city of Opa-locka regarding the use of gas at the city pumps? What would look like a gold standard?
If you're asking what is happening in the city of Miami Gardens, is that what I hear you saying?
Yes, please. Just for context, that would be helpful.
I don't know if I have the complete answer, but I do know that, because that is not my realm of expertise, but I do know that there are some checks and balances that are put in place with multiple departments that look at the accountability and check against one another.
Okay. Mr. Patterson, do you have any perspective that from the police department days that might be helpful in understanding whether or not Opa-locka has proper controls over their gas usage at the city pumps?
I'm not really sure about what the city of Opa-locka does, but I do know the county has a very extensive review and reporting process where when somebody purchases or actually uses gas, pumps gas at the pump, a report is probably generated in our general services or internal services department that shows that record. And then I'm sure the budgeting office is somehow contacted for the sort of almost like confirmation of that purchase and the cost associated with it and the finances associated to paying off that bill. So there is several departments that look at the use of fuel and sort of like validate, verify that it was in fact used for the right purpose, and then ensuring that the cost is appropriate and that the money is available to pay it. There is no, or very little, I'll say there's very little that's not monitored within the county by various sections to sort of like check and balance each other. So I'm not sure what they're doing here in Opa-locka, but I do know that once you pump gas, it's very important that record is verified and validated as well as appropriately paid, and then even audited at some point to ensure that it's being used for the right purpose in the right vehicles.
Jackson, are you aware, has your office done an audit of the Miami-Dade County's gas usage?
Yes, we have. And basically, the controls that we have, I mean, we have different ones, and we have municipalities that also use our fuel pumps. But it's primarily monitored through the use of fuel cards. And basically, there's, you know, types of controls that are put in place. For example, you should not be fueling up, you know, within so many days and things of that nature. So there's exception controls that are built in such that if those parameters are exceeded, we can get alerting the department or someone in terms of the nature of the transactions, like this particular car is being fueled up every day and it really doesn't make sense, that kind of stuff. But I think what's important is, as Chief Patterson indicated, is to understand what the city of Opa-locka is doing, and once there's a clear understanding of what they're doing, we could probably, you know, help make some suggestions in terms of how you can improve those controls.
Okay. Ms. Jackson, do you have a report that you could provide to the board on your observations of the county review?
Yes. I mean, it may be pretty old, but I'll be glad to give you a copy of that report. It's not a problem at all.
I'm thinking that you could also share that with Ms. Harrell, and then Ms. Harrell could provide us with an assessment of current operations, a description, or have that department head come and provide this body a description of the process and controls. You know, but it's such time that, you know, I don't know that it needs to be this Wednesday, but certainly want to add it to the list of things to consider.
Not a problem.
Ms. Miguel,
yes.
This is Brooke. I know that we have a very robust fleet department, so I would be also willing to have our fleet manager speak to Ms. Harrell and her staff about the software that we use. And I know that we piggyback on the state of Florida with our fuel cards, and they offer some assistance in providing reports on a daily and weekly basis. So I'll be willing to share that information as well.
Thank you very much. Marie.
So I was just going to say, back in my DFS days, we were doing fuel card audits. And
can you hear Ms. Walker?
Nope.
Back in my DFS days, I was responsible for overseeing fuel card audits, and we were certainly looking for people to be logging mileage, logging dates of fuel, so that we could look for those patterns as they were discussing to see how much was there unusual amounts of mileage or long number of days in between that based on the mileage. So. Certainly, I would be willing to participate in looking at those controls as well.
Okay. I'd like to get a motion to include the review of the fuel at the city pumps. What is that? And water and sewer issues, infrastructure, as mentioned.
Melinda, I'll make that motion.
Okay. A second. Okay, Angela Connect, did I hear anybody there? Okay. Any discussion?
Melinda, may I just make an observation that you, if I may suggest that you clarify with your water and sewer review that you also look at the billing of your water and sewer, because I think that there are opportunities certainly there in terms of revenue enhancements, things of that nature as it pertains to your water and sewer billing. And the controls over that particular process.
Okay, I think that makes complete sense.
Melinda, this is Ed. The committee, will that be Mr. Patterson's committee that will be?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think that makes sense.
Mr. Patterson.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Ed.
As we go further into this, we'll be able to offer up some help from the Water and Sewer Department to help in that regard.
Okay, wonderful.
Thank you, and I appreciate that.
Awesome. Okay, did we do a vote? No, I think
you,
we have
you
a.
You have the motion and second, and vote on it.
Okay, and that clarification offered by Ms. Harrell, I think, can be. Included, it looks like I've got some support here in the room by the head nodding that as amended. So we have a motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Okay, we've got a couple things left to go and cover. One I'd like to bring up before we go to our next agenda item is the cash flow projections through fiscal year end. It would be very helpful if we could proceed with asking Yvette Harrell and Charmaine Parchment or others with the assistance and validation efforts of Francis Coyle to provide this body with a cash flow projection through year end. That will be very helpful. Do I have a motion to move forward with that item?
Question for you, Melinda.
Yes.
When you say year end, you mean September 30th?
That's correct.
The end of the fiscal year, okay.
Yes, that's correct. Unless I have any additional, I haven't gotten a motion yet, so if anybody has a different idea, but certainly now is the time to be heard.
No, I will make that motion and amend it that if at all possible to have that a presentation at the 3 o'clock next Tuesday meeting.
Okay. All right. So we have a motion to have the cash flow projection through fiscal year end of September 30th, and to ask for Ms. Harrell to make that presentation at next Tuesday's meeting. Do I have a second?
Second.
I'm going to say second by Kim. Call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carried. Okay. Let's see. We have covered, obviously, the welcome. We've covered the presentation from Miami-Dade. We've discussed the sources of budget expertise to ensure that the deadline for the annual budget and the five-year plan is due to the governor by August the 1st. We've discussed and have taken votes on some of the expenditure review and assessment. Mr. Wise, we'll talk about revenue reviews after your committee meets in further detail, because I think Ms. Jackson's comments about some enhanced revenue opportunities certainly exist with some collection efforts and the number of refunds. Those are very pointed remarks that I think I've observed in some of my own review, but I want to make sure that your committee has a chance to meet and discuss whatever you need to cover. So we've also taken a vote on several of these items, important issues. Let's see, what else do we have? Ben Watkins. Mr. Watkins, are you on the call?
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Awesome. I would like to call on you now to make a presentation and for discussion relative to your expertise from the Division of Bond Finance. I know early on some of my conversations with Mayor Taylor had to do with some of the bonds that the City of Opa-locka has on their books, and wanted to fold in your expertise to today's call. So thank you for being here, and you have the floor.
No problem. Thanks very much. So for the benefit of the group, my name is Ben Watkins. I'm the director of the state's Division of Bond Finance, so we do all the financing for the state. And Chair Miguel asked me to have a look at the City of Opa-locka and make some suggestions. So we've had an opportunity to have a look, and there's two different, in terms of long-term debt, there's really two different pieces that are outstanding. One is Capital Improvement Revenue Bond Series 2011 A and B, outstanding in the principal amount of approximately $7.7 million. And there's a second series of bonds, Series 2015 A and B bonds, currently outstanding in the principal amount of $8.6 million. The bonds are secured. The city has pledged local government revenue sharing and half-cent sales tax for the 2011 A and B bonds, and the communication services tax and the public service tax is on the 2015 Series 2015 notes. So those are the pledged revenue. That's the amount outstanding, and those are the pledged revenue streams. And we've had a look at the legal documents authorizing the issuance of the debt and the security provisions. And basically, it requires that the city, from those sources of revenues, make monthly payments to the bondholders. And so in listening to the discussion, our recommendation would be, I believe that it would be prudent to set up an automatic payment system so that the monthly payments to the bondholders or the debt holders are made automatically. And that would be my suggestion for consideration of the city and the board. And I'm certainly happy to answer any questions.
Okay.
Hey, this is Christian, Ben. The way I understand an automatic payment system to be set up, it would have to be a request by the city to do that. I'm not quite sure the board has the authority then for us to recommend for the city to do that. Is that your understanding?
No, I'm suggesting that this is a fiscally prudent course of action relative to the debt outstanding of the city. How you all choose to deal with that between cooperation between the city and the board is outside of bounds in terms of what we've had a look at.
Okay.
Yeah, you can handle it any way you want, but that's my recommendation for consideration of the city and the board.
Okay. Mr. Collins, yes.
I just had one clarification question. With the automatic payment system, as you're describing, does that give sort of, is that an implied first right of payment to those bonds? Is that what we're trying to accomplish there?
Yeah, that's correct. And in fact, the city has already made that legal commitment.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Miguel, this is Yvette, if I may.
Yes, please.
Just so we're all clear, the way the bonds the debt obligations are currently being paid. It has not previously been an automated payment. However, the payment is actually made the day that the payment is due. The payment has previously been transferred from the general revenue fund into the accounts that the banks have set up. Within the past 2 weeks, there's been discussion and processes in place where all of those funds will now be actually deposited into the bank's account. So the automatic payment process has already been underway. I'm thinking in terms of the state that we should have that process in place by next month.
Okay. Ms. Miguel, this is Kathy Jackson. May I also comment in regard to the bond?
Yes, Kathy.
I think what's also important, and like I said, I could have gone on and on, but I think it's important that we look at all of our bonds to make sure that our reserve requirements are being met, things of that nature, because as I quickly did an assessment through that, certainly we were in a technical default because those covenant requirements were not being met. So, you know, as your committee, I know they have quite a bit to do, but this is something on the list that probably should be added as well in terms of where we are in terms of meeting the various reserve type requirements, because there were shortfalls there as we found it at the time of our review.
Okay. What I would like to entertain at this particular point is to entertain a motion that we task Christian's committee to determine the legality of Mr. Watkins's recommendation of a prudent action relative to establishing an auto pay type system for the bondholders and to assess the reserve requirements and whether or not those reserve requirements are being met. Do I have a motion?
The legality should be covered by him.
Okay, to modify my motion to ask Christian to work with legal counsel to assess the legality of that and assess the reserve requirements. Do I have a motion?
I so move.
Moved by Mr. Wise.
Second. I second.
Second by Mr. Patterson. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, hearing none, motion carries. Awesome.
Chair Miguel, just as a follow-on and clarification, the mechanism, hearing what Ms. Jackson says, and that the monies are actually being segregated and the payments being made, that's ultimately what I think needs to happen. Exactly the details and the mechanics of how that happened to me are less important than making sure that the recognition of the obligation is there and the mechanics are set up so that the monies are appropriately set aside so that the payments can be made when due. That's the ultimate goal.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure Mr. Wives will be in touch with you, Ben, and Ms. Harrell to follow up on this. I really appreciate you appearing today and giving your presentation, Ben. Your expertise and your support is extremely valuable to me, so thank you very much. Okay, let's see. In review of our agenda items, I do believe we've covered the majority. Let me just double check. In our presentation by Miami-Dade County, we had our budgeting expertise. If you could, Ms. Nelson, if you could provide us with the names of those resources that you would be able to commit, then we would be able to move those in to the process, and really appreciate that. Thanks to you, the mayor, and the city manager, and your full commission. So we've also talked about the mechanisms for routing contracts, expenditures, and other forms of indebtedness. We've had a presentation by Mr. Watkins. We've had a vote on several significant issues relative to the financial well-being of the city and some of our oversight activities. Well, we've also tasked Kim Mills to look at the audit McCaffer cash projections due coming up at our next meeting, access to some of the systems that might be necessary, review of the police department amongst a whole
host of other things. I believe that that leads us to the next step, but before we accept public comment, I want to make sure that none of the financial emergency board members have any closing remarks or comments or clarification or questions. Okay.
Well,
hang on.
This is Christian Weiss. I think this was an extremely productive meeting, and I really appreciate all the work that the chair has put into and the thoughtfulness of all these motions, and I think it's an invaluable second step on helping the city to achieve its goals. So I really appreciate it, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, Councillor.
There was a question last time as to whether or not the requirements to file a financial disclosure under 112 Part 3 applied to our financial emergency board. After looking over the statute and also speaking to the general counsel out of the Ethics Commission, we've concluded that the financial disclosure requirement is not required for members of the advisory board. We are an advisory body, and so we do not qualify under the definitions of the entities that must file that financial disclosure. So just to close the loop on that. However, I will remind you that the Governor's Code of Ethics does still apply to our conduct while serving in this capacity.
And obviously, if you are already a city or county employee, then it does apply to you as well as a reporting individual. So thank you, Mr. Heekin. I appreciate that clarification. All right, we're ready for any comment, public comment at this point. Mr. Patterson, if you could control the public comment, and since you're there in person, I would appreciate, since you can look the folks there in the eye and see who's coming to the podium forward to make those comments, I would like to allow you to take control of this meeting for that purpose. Obviously, we're here for you, and we're available to answer any question, but out of respect for those members in the audience in person, if you would be able to acknowledge them and welcome them in your capacity as vice chair, we'll be waiting here for those remarks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The floor is now open for any public comment. If you just come forward, and we appreciate you being here, and that we welcome your comments. Just identify yourself.
Good morning. Alvin Burke.
Good morning.
Citizen from the great city of Opa-locka. At this time, I would like to take the opportunity to thank the State Oversight Board for taking y'all time and looking at our city and trying to help our great city. I don't have much to say. I just want to reiterate, y'all touched on a lot of good stuff today, and I hope that y'all continue to look into all the things that you were saying that you're going to look into. I'm sure you're still going to find a lot of hidden stuff. It's a lot of hidden stuff. But once again, I would just like to say thank y'all for taking the time to lend your expertise to our city on behalf of the citizens of Opa-locka. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Burke. We appreciate that. The floor is still open for any public comment. Mr. Chair, I believe there is no further comment. We just want to say thank you for your leadership and your guidance, and we do look forward to working with this city and management staff on trying to get things in order and going forward as a city.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair.
I do have one question, though, as the Contract Review Committee Chair. Is Mr. Rollison available, or can I speak to him, or do I need to
If you would call Joanne Osborne and or Heather Stearns here on my staff, then we can certainly determine the appropriate avenue for legal avenue for discussion outside of a public meeting and entertain whatever requests that you might have. Mr. Rollison is not available on the call today. So we're unable to get his feedback at this particular point, and certainly
want to make sure that we follow, of course, the public meetings requirements, but Heather Stearns will be available for you at the conclusion of this call if you want to give her a call. And my office number is 850-717-9264, and we'd be happy to entertain whatever your question is.
Thank you.
Commissioner Riley, thank you. Commissioner Santiago, thank you for being there. Ms. Harrell and staff of the great city of Opa-locka, members of the public, board members of the Financial Emergency Board, I want to thank everyone, council, really appreciate all of the hard work and coming together today to discuss these important issues. And I want to thank our speakers, Deputy Mayor Ed Marquez, Auditor Kathy Jackson, Division of Bond Finance, Ben Watkins, really appreciate all of your help and support. And again, thanks back to the City of Miami Gardens for their offer to extend some additional expertise. And Francis Coyle, thank you so very much for your service and volunteering to assist the city in this heavy, very an endeavor. So thank you so very much. Look forward to seeing everyone, those of you on Tuesday at 3 o'clock for Mr. Wise's committee meeting, and then Wednesday at 10 a.m. For the full board meeting there at Shabundi Village, and really appreciate everyone's time today. So look forward to talking with you and working with you further. Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.